Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 469. What?
69. Yeah. So tired. Why are you, am I doing the intro tonight?
Yep.
Why are you, is that why you're holding this in front of me? Oh, hey guys. Welcome to episode number 469. This episode is one of my favorites. Who is it?
You're a dick.
Wait,
who is it? This episode is one of my favorites. I don't announce the guests at the top of the thing. I save that for the last part of the intro.
So what do I do? Oh, dates. I'm going to be at SF Sketchfest next week.
No, it's not next week. Don't tell people that. It's not next week.
It's
February 7th and 8th.
February 7th and 8th. We're going to be doing Sanjay. I don't know what it is.
You sound like...
We're doing Sanjay and Craig live.
You sound like a strip club DJ.
I feel like a strip club DJ right now. All right, hold on. Let me see if I have to get this right. Okay. So, come to Sanjay and Craig.
Yes, we're doing a live reading. We're doing a live reading of Sanjay and Craig, February 8th at SF Sketchfest.
Well, hold on. You're getting a little overzealous. Let me keep going. Okay. And then on February 8th, I'm going to be doing Revenge of the Nerds, the 30th anniversary, with Curtis Armstrong, Timothy Busfield. I'm not even gonna bother reading all of those names. No one needs to know all those names.
Okay, well,
you should know those names anyway.
Yeah, it's a cast of Revenge of the Nerds. It's gonna be a screening, and then I'm gonna do a Q&A with them, which that movie changed my life when I was growing up, so I'm very excited about that. So Sanjay and Craig, and then that, and then February 7th. What are we doing February 7th?
Is that the Sanjay and Craig?
No, we already covered that one.
Wait, then what is February 7th?
We're doing a live podcast.
Oh, we're doing a live podcast on February 7th.
You're quick.
Yeah, I catch on.
There might be just a few, there were only 30 tickets left of that about 8 hours ago, so.
He checks every 5 minutes.
I do not check. Now, see, the shitty thing about that is I don't check every 5 minutes. Uh-huh. But there's no way that anyone's going to believe me because you
Whatever.
Said that and it
All
just
right,
sounds like I'm
depending. Let's move on. So this podcast is
I
one of my favorites.
I don't check every 5 minutes.
Wait, listen.
I do like this podcast, but we haven't done the sponsor yet. But wait, I have to tell people to go to sfsketchfest.com to get tickets to any of these things February 7th and 8th.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, and I'll probably pop in on some other shows there. Tell them I'll pop in on some other shows.
I'll probably pop in some other shows there.
I'm not going to pop in some other shows. I'm going to pop in on some other shows.
Whoa, hold on there.
What?
Pop in on? That sounds like dirty.
This episode of Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Fracture. FractureMe.com. Prints out your photos in vivid color onto glass.
Oh, what?
Like super cool, thin glass. Everything you need. And they're going to send you everything you need to actually display the photo. They put it in this little environmentally friendly packaging, and they include the screw, and then they send you your whatever photo you want on glass for $12.
So
you get a 5x5 print.
Can you put a promo code in?
Yeah, you get a promo code. Yeah, Nerdist.
WTF.
It's not... Don't fucking Myra me. Don't Myra me on my own...
Don't Myra, is that literally
that's what Myra does.
That's what that means now?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, no. Matt, that's kind of a lame thing for your name to mean.
Yes, you will get 20% off using the promo code
what the
Nerdist. Using the promo code Nerdist, you get 20% off. It's a small team of people who work out of Gainesville, Florida, and they're good people, and they're going to make your photos displayable as opposed to just trapping them in your phone forever. I have like 10,000 photos that I will
get all of them printed
every
out.
Single yeah. one
this is one of my favorite podcasts. Who is it?
We're not there yet. Go to fracturememe.com.
Oh, sorry.
To start ordering your photos printed onto really cool glass. This episode is one of my favorites.
Who is it?
It's my friend John Daly.
Oh, John Daly!
Who I knew from UCB. John used to be in a group, and I think they're reforming a bit with Brett Gelman, called Cracked Out. And John is an incredible improviser, an amazing sketch comic, and he is on Kroll Show, which is back now Tuesdays at 10:30, 9:30 Central on Comedy Central. And he also has his other show, Betas, which is available on Amazon right now. Yeah.
My ex-boyfriend is on the show.
This
is awkward.
Thanks for bringing that up.
I'm sorry. It's awkward. I just got excited for a minute.
Why would you get excited about your ex-boyfriend being on a thing?
My friend is a friend of mine.
But he's your ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, but he's still a friend. It's cool, guys. It's cool.
It is not cool. So, I'm going to end this intro right now, and Chloe Dykstra and I are going to have a serious conversation.
Wait, are we done with the intro? Did we get through all of it?
We're not done. Yeah, I guess we're done now.
Oh, okay. Here we go!
Please stop having dated people on things that I'm promoting.
Are you still recording? John Daly, everybody. Recorded now.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Thank
you, guys.
Yeah, thanks for being had.
Guys. I was going through old pics. I found a bunch of you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
From back in the day?
Yeah, from like 06, 05.
Bunch of throwbacks.
When I came across
afterwards?
You.
Okay. Oh, man, that is so great. Yeah. I love that.
When I came across you in the park that one nice day.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's in New York.
Yeah.
Wow.
God.
And then, so young.
So young. Yeah, look, speaking of
young. So young, so poor, so...
This is a... Remember?
Oh, my God.
Remember attractive
Gelman? Was he trying to have hair there? Wow, he looks good. Yeah, he looks like Cuban or something.
He looks like as good as he can look.
That's so mean.
You guys are working on the horror show?
Oh, my God. Oh, wow, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, I was just going through my old Flickr.
That around when we were living with you for a month? Or before that, maybe?
No, this was around... I think this was like... Because
you were a human giant.
You guys had came back.
Yeah.
So that was probably 2000s. I don't know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, friends.
John Daly.
Hello.
We just had Nick Kroll on a few minutes ago.
Oh, awesome.
You just missed him.
You guys are... Oh, really?
Yes.
Hey, Nick. What's up?
But you deserve your own show.
So we decided to do a John Daly focused podcast.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. Yeah. We can make it about me and it'll be great. And this is
not this rate.
Have we started?
Yes.
Is this it?
We're on it, man.
Damn it.
You're doing it.
Damn it. I just thank you guys for this opportunity.
Well, that's all the time we have.
I really appreciate
John,
it.
John, thank you so
really,
much for being here.
I'm really
Chris, I apologize.
Shit.
I apologize for going on a limb and vouching for my friend here.
I'm really eating shit.
I vouched for him too. I had no idea.
Crashing and burning on
Nerdin. Like Kyle said, I thought
crashing and nerding. Sorry. I apologize for that.
There are many John Daly's.
So many.
There are many notable John Daly's.
Yes. So many notable John Daly's. There's me.
Yep.
There's an actor, John Daly.
The Freaks and Geeks,
Freaks
John
and
Daly.
Geeks, who's hilarious.
He's buff now, too. Buff.
Is he buff?
He's buff now.
There's redneck mullet golfer, John Daly.
Redneck mullet golfer, John Daly. There's a Scottish soccer player named John Daly as well, who gets a lot of Google play.
Boy, you guys just fighting for SEO on the first page of Google search.
He's pretty famous out there in Britain.
Yeah, I try not to search myself online because it always ends up just, Jonah Hill movies on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
That's what ends up happening.
Yeah. Hey, and why not?
Yeah. Why not? Sure.
Not bad.
The first time I met you, I believe, Mike Furman and I were still doing Hard and Firm musical stuff,
yes.
And you and Brett Gelman were doing Cracked Out.
Yes.
And I think we were all on a show of musical comics.
Probably, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think I remember that. I remember doing Comedy Death Ray at that point
yes.
with you guys. And yeah, that was...
The music show was at the Mint?
Cracked Out is mine and Brett Gelman, rap group.
Yes.
If you don't know.
My dick is so small and so are my balls. I wish my dick
my
was
dick
bigger.
We
like
have a song.
Steven Seagal's.
Yeah, I wish my dick was bigger like Steven Seagal's.
Yeah.
We have a song called Our Dicks Are Small. We have a song called F-ing Your Mom, Fucking Your Mom in the Ass.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of, and that was the point where we were as offensive as we could possibly
yeah.
be.
I love
the fat upper pussy area, and if you got one of those, I want to marry you.
Yeah. Upper pussy area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The fupa.
Fupa, yeah.
Because when I the first time I heard, I was like, comedy rap group, what is that? And then I saw you guys, I'm like, oh my god, this is fucking amazing.
So, yeah,
you guys
you,
were so
you,
yeah. yeah. It was
you guys
at the Mint, I think.
Yeah, it was at the Mint.
Hard and Firm too. Yes,
Vampire.
Dave Rath.
Yes,
Dave Rath's thing. Right.
Yeah.
Dave
Rath
Cara
put it together.
And Dave.
Yeah, and it was you guys, Vampire.
Yes,
which was Varney and
Kip Jetty.
Jasper Red.
Jasper Red.
Was Howard Kramer in there too? Doing Dragon Boy Suede, probably.
Probably, yeah.
He was too, yeah, yeah.
And then you.
Nut Valet.
Love that. That was Nut Valet, period, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
What's that you say? Something that'll make you. Ow!
Yeah.
He took the Werewolves of London.
Yeah, that was great. Then he'd had the whole other verse with Morgan Murphy when he did it on Kimmel.
Right. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But then you guys also. I still sometimes think about the Bennigans song.
Yeah, the Bennigans.
I still say that sometimes. Me
you
and Bennigans. Say that. You Bennigans.
You Bennigans. Yeah,
yeah.
That was our attempt at getting a catchphrase into the popular culture. We were like, what can mean you're kind of lame in Jersey and like weird, like, yo, you Bennigans.
Yeah. You know? Worked on me.
You driving daddy's Bima with a bottle of Zima. You Bennigans. You just bought an 8-ball, a non-dairy creamer. You Bennigans.
Shit.
So yeah, but Cracked Out, I wanted to say, Cracked Out's back.
Oh, really?
Me and Brett getting together again.
But Brett Gelman hates comedy rap.
He does. He does hate comedy rap unless he's doing it.
Yeah.
I think, I love all comedy rap. And that's, I feel like that is, you know, why we made it so offensive. Because two guys doing comedy rap is potentially the lamest thing in the entire world.
Yeah.
So I think we fought that feeling of like, is this going to be lame by being like as disgusting as we could possibly be. Like early
good.
On.
But essentially, and then the characters that you guys play are basically two crackheads.
Rapzilla.
Yeah, originated as two crackheads. Yeah. And then we started to feel how racist it was.
Yeah.
Just be like, yo, smoke crack. You know, it's just not.
I was
not
in the
thing.
Cracked Out Christmas show.
Right. Yeah. The Valentine's
Day. Oh, Valentine's show.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, because it was Cupid.
Slipped
on a bottle.
Cupid, I believe.
Yeah,
you were
stupid Cupid.
Cupid. You wore a diaper and you look fantastic.
Yeah, slipped on a bottle, kept going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Slipping on bottles.
Are you doing a ton of live stuff at UCB still?
Yeah, ton of live stuff.
Sappity
Tappity show. I just did my Sappity Tappity, the drunk English rollerblading pine tree Christmas show. and that was fantastic. Had a lot of guests and I've been doing improv.
Real quick,
sometimes
I
do ASCAT.
For the uninitiated, can you just tell... Like, just give an example of Sabbaty Tappity.
Sabbaty Tappity is a drunk English rollerblading Christmas tree. He's kind of based on Rest in Peace, by the way, Peter O'Toole. I used to say Peter O'Toole peed on a pine cone, and then Sabbaty Tappity was fully formed. Just
love,
blew, get out of my way.
Loved limericks.
I do disgusting racist limericks, and I sing Christmas songs, and it's delightful.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's one of Deanna's favorite comedy things.
I'm making a Christmas album, with Nick Thorburn from Islands.
That's rad.
We're going to make a Sabbaty Tappity Christmas record for next December.
Wow.
So, look out for that.
Can I get hired to play the Jingle Bells?
Yes, of course. I will play you. I will pay you.
What are you smacking your...
That's how you play the Jingle Bells. You hold it upside down, the handle on the top, and then you just take your fist and you hit it
ching,
on the top.
Ching, ching. Yeah. Can we pay you in Christmas magic?
No, please.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't expect any less.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Consider it done, my friend.
Yes. Christmas magic is actually really high right now.
Is that a high current? A high current. So, so it's like Bitcoin, though. It's up and down.
Yeah.
Around Christmas time, it gains all of its value. Right?
So if you lose money on Christmas magic in January, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Because
you know
that it's going to go down.
Hey, man, sell it on the 24th at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
And you will be a magical millionaire.
December 26th. Yeah. I just bought all this Christmas magic. You're fucking stupid.
Yeah. I sold all my Christmas magic. I'm still homeless. It makes no difference. It's all a feeling inside your heart.
I wished so hard.
That's just a Christmas show, and now I'm doing it on Arbor Day too because it's a tree. So there's going to be an Arbor Day show. Arbor Day and Christmas are the real tree things, so that's what I'm trying to nail those down. So yeah.
Do you do a lot of voiceovers?
I do a lot of voiceovers. I do. I did a lot of characters on The Life and Times of Tim on HBO.
Oh, nice. Yep.
And now I do Family Guy and sometimes. And I do, a lot of different stuff.
Nice.
Voiceovers. Voiceover is the best job in the world. It's unparalleled.
It's really rad, the times.
And I just did a pilot also for Cartoon Network called The Royals, my friend Sean Sales made, and who does Regular Show.
Mm-hmm.
And that is awesome.
After the Lord song?
And it is.
Is that the theme song?
That should be the theme song now. Yeah. It's a little bit melancholy for the tone of the cartoon.
Yeah. Is it for Cartoon Network proper or for adults?
Cartoon Network proper.
Oh, great.
And it's melancholy?
The tone of the Lord song is too melancholy.
It's
actually all set to Misfits songs, which is really cool.
Really?
Yeah, it's I play actually a very Sappity Tappity-esque character. I'm kind of like, hello, I'm the king. So I'm just like, get off me, you know, kind of thing. And,
oh, wow.
And all the transitions are like, you know, where eagles dare.
That's
like
crazy.
It's so awesome. Yeah, it's a great cartoon.
Wow, Misfits from the Sailor Jerry commercial.
Exactly, dude. Yeah. Yeah, the Misfits are all about integrity, especially the ones who aren't Danzig. Like, I feel like those guys sit in a basement and figure out ways to sue each other. Same with Van Halen. They're just like, man, how can I fuck over?
Yeah. What
are you working on now? A couple lawsuits?
Yes.
No songs?
They both have solos, but...
I'm working on an eruption of lawsuits.
Hey!
5,150 lawsuits.
Oh, you wait one, two lawsuits?
Hey!
Oh. Sorry, guys.
That was a Van Hagar lawsuit. It's a whole separate set of lawsuits.
Yeah. I know. That's a whole, and the statute of limitations for those is still happening.
I think it'd be great if David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar just started suing each other, too, just to close the triangle.
That'd be great.
I think so, yeah. I mean, those guys could come up with some really creative lawsuits.
Did they ever tour together? Did Hagar
they
and Roth?
They did. There was one, I think, where there was they would do some of, original awesome Van Halen songs, and then they would do some of Sammy Hagar songs.
Oh, man.
To less praise.
Yeah, so David Lee Roth would come out and go, hey, there's no tomorrow, and now.
And then Sammy Hagar would just like have a liter bottle of Crystal Pepsi and just start spraying it everywhere.
Hopefully on some t-shirts.
Yeah.
With... I can drown 55.
I can't drive 55. At the time, the song seemed so rebellious.
Yeah.
No one drives 55. Everyone's like 10, 15, 20 miles above the speed limit.
Yeah. The speed limit is there to drive above and below.
Yeah, I can't. No one drives 55, Sammy Hagar. No one drives 55.
Sammy Hagar, I want to say in Pennsylvania when I was about 12 years old, they made it 65 in Pennsylvania because there was less car accidents when it was 65 magically.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, also, there is a minimum that you should drive on the freeway as well. So that song could really be more about... I really can't drive slowly.
The minimum.
Because I have to bring the curve up.
In order to stay safe. Actually, that's the missing fourth verse.
It's a lot safer when you're driving slightly faster.
The statistics show.
Click my seatbelt on and I'm ready to go. Yeah, it was a heavy metal era, Sammy Hagar, too, was... I would when I think about how I categorize, I go, oh, well, this is this kind of rock, and that's not, I have no idea what Sammy Hagar. It was this sort of like weird post 70s kind of.
I think it was spawned of from Ted Nugent, and kind of like if you look at I Can't Drive 55 era Hagar, he has those Ted Nugent like yellow jumpsuits, you know, and like spangles. And then when he joins Van Halen, he's Tommy Bahama.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he's like, I've always called him heavy metal Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah,
heavy metal Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah,
exactly. Perfect.
He's like Jimmy Buffett lifestyle with like half of the kind of commitment to it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Still super rich.
And yeah, fucking awesome.
Cabo Wabo, just like
He's sold his tequila, right? For like he sold out and is now like crazy rich or something like that, and just chills in Cabo.
Yeah, and then puts on like a yearly festival and just parties.
If he doesn't hang out with Jimmy Buffett like on a regular basis for Christmas or something like that every year, I'd be totally surprised.
Those guys. I know this is going to sound like a dumb question, but would you want to make like $100 million when you were like 65?
Yes.
Okay. I know that I would too, but would any part of you be like, God damn it. Why not early? You know, like, what do you do when you're...
Well, with those guys, I feel like Hagar is just like, he's rolling in dough, period. Like,
yeah. I mean, he's not... I don't think he's 65, but he's got to be in this early, you know, late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah. But he was Van Halen, so, I mean, those songs are so huge, and he probably made way more money than Lee Roth, am I right?
If like, he wrote them, I don't
if
know.
If he wrote them, you're
If
right.
he didn't write them, who wrote those songs, Kyle? Okay, if he wrote a lot of those hit songs, then he would have...
Because Eddie was too fucked up, right?
Yeah, Eddie was too fucked up, and he'd realize what the songs were, like, 2 months in.
Yeah.
Into tour, he'd be like, oh, Sean, really?
Right now? That's us? Yeah, that's I've heard that on the radio.
Yeah, I hear that every day on the radio. I can't believe that's me. That's my solo?
It comes on. Oh, turn this shit off. I hate the song. That's your band. What's that now?
Yeah. What's that now? No, that's you. Yeah. That's you.
Oh, that's great. Here, I'm going to replace this song with the Right Now song.
What's this this album, OU 812? No, it's OU 812.
That's your record. Who would call
it? No, it's not.
That's the dumbest name for...
That's not me. That's heavy metal Jimmy Buffett on the cover.
Yeah, no, that's your face, man. Oh, man. Take the gun out of your mouth. Save Eddie. He's got to play. Okay, thank God we saved Eddie. Get on stage, Eddie. It's a happy ending.
Thank God he nodded off before committing suicide.
He bit through the rest of his tongue. Doesn't he have half a tongue or something like that from mouth cancer?
Does he?
I don't know. Why do we need to go there?
Tony Aoki.
Why shit on a man fingers. When he's just, you know, he's a legend.
Yeah.
How am I going to sue Alex? How can I sue my brother? I'm going to sue my tongue.
Yeah, I'm going to sue my doctor. Fuck my tongue up.
I love that you did the bit. I'm sorry. It's like half a tongue. He lost half a tongue, right? Because of cancer?
Yeah,
stop the improv scene. Did he lose a tongue?
Hold on. Let's see the let's see what's behind this.
Yes.
Let's make it really sad for people is what you're saying, Chris.
I understand,
Chris.
Like, peeling back the layers. Obviously, I'm sure it'd be fun to get $100 million at any stage of your life, but I often wonder, like, you know... people like guys like Leslie Nielsen, who I'm sure it made the last part of his life better, obviously, that he made all the money and got all the... So I'm sure it's better than it never happening, but is there any part where you're like, God damn it, I'm 75, I don't have the energy to enjoy all of the stuff that I could be enjoying?
I'd replace my bones and then just get the party started.
You can't do that.
You can't do
that?
It
doesn't work that way.
What?
You don't
bionic
replace
hip?
Everything. You can't... Okay, you could get a bionic hip, but then what?
New femur bones?
You can't get new femur bones.
Cryostasis...
Yes.
Program a year where you think it's going to be really chill in the world. All war is over or whatever you want to have.
Yeah.
You know, like, or maybe when, you know, and then.
That's a gamble, right? You sleep for 100 years, you come out, and they're like, oh, you just missed the 100-year piece.
God damn it.
You just missed it.
I like the
right when you left.
The stupid, the guy who just constantly fucks up and he doesn't understand and he wakes up and he's like, oh, this world sucks. I'm going to go back. No, this isn't a time machine. You just slept. You were just in a freeze for 100 years.
Yeah. I want to wake up when all people are like a butter rum brown. You know, there's one race.
Yeah.
And just everyone's kind of mixed together and everyone's super, it's like Avatar.
Yeah.
But you want to do that and then you go a couple years later and it's the fucking Ice Age or whatever.
They all, like everybody looks like Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Even the men.
Yeah, yeah. The men look like Rosario Dawson with penises.
Everyone's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Avatar.
Yeah.
And there are trees that are all connected under the ground. And
yeah. Then I fuck you with a root.
I fuck you with a root, dude, with my ponytail thing.
I kick a root down.
I'll kick a root down.
I'm going to fuck your hair with my hair.
I'm going to put my hair in your hair.
I'm going to put my hair in your hair.
Fuck your hair with
my
hair.
Hey, girl, can I come inside your hair?
No.
Is that right if I come inside your hair?
I don't want to get a hair ponytail infection. I got a UTI in my ponytail. Think, what are the inner workings of the Avatar ponytails?
Let's get it started in here. It's Avatar-ed in here.
It is Avatar. They're making Avatar 2, right?
Of course.
That's the new James Cameron.
There'll
crazy
be forever
deal.
Avatars. They'll just keep going, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I would think so. Why not?
I hope he does something else, though. Not to be a bummer, but I think Avatar's.
Well, he went to the bottom of the ocean.
He went to the bottom of the ocean. That's true.
Yeah.
He does do, and he took Bill Paxton, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's like, Bill, the only guy who gets me. Oh, man. I've heard stories about him that are totally amazing.
Cameron?
Or like Cameron, yeah. That are like, he like did a lot, like the big shot in Titanic where all the water comes down the hallway, like Jack kind of like moves out of the way in this big wave, like tidal wave of water. He's in the Titanic, comes down this hallway and like pins him against the wall, was shot by James Cameron, like in a full like suit. Like,
oh,
because
wow.
None of his cameramen wanted to shoot it basically. And he was like, I'll fucking strap in. And like, ducked out, risking his like life and limb basically for these crazy shots.
Well, I heard
he's like a crazy maverick.
The boat almost fell down on someone, and he rushed in at the last minute and caught it with one hand.
Yeah, the whole boat,
the entire boat. Yeah, yeah.
That
true.
He had
it was
built.
A model. It was a model, so it wasn't that dangerous.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah, and four people died on it. But if it's a model, it's like
it's kind of on them.
He's like, and he was like, yeah, you dedicated your life to my project.
Yeah, yeah. They, like, they just choked on the smaller parts.
You died for your country.
I did?
Your country's James Cameron.
No, what?
And I'm James Cameron.
Yeah. James Cameron does have more money than some countries, I'm sure.
He actually does.
Yeah. He probably does. Like, yeah. Probably like more money than, I don't know, Ontario. Is that a country?
the dumbest
thing I've ever
said. Probably more than our Ontario, the city.
Just a little bit. That's where I bought my car. That's a good, hey, LA residents, if you drive to Ontario, you can get a deal.
Just go anywhere east of Los
Angeles. There's an improv in Ontario, I think.
There's what?
I think there's an improv in Ontario.
There's an airport in Ontario as well.
It's the saddest improv and the saddest airport. No, it's probably,
Well, there's Brea, and then there's, I think, Ontario's one.
Yeah.
There's Irvine and Brea, and I think there's one in Ontario as well.
I do the Needles improv.
Oh, no, Nevada.
Go up to Needles.
Yes, Las Vegas Needles. I'm surprised there's never been a band called that.
Yeah.
Well, that sign, Las Vegas Needles.
Oh,
there is.
It also means like needles.
Yeah, yeah. Las Vegas Needles.
Like, we're Las Vegas Needles. Yeah. And this is Route 66.
Yeah, they'll play with Hollywood Undead and 30 Seconds to Mars.
Rocket from the Crypt.
No. They're too good for that group.
Hey, sometimes when we're wrestling, people get hurt.
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
How dare you?
No, you're absolutely right. Rocket from the Crypt makes 30 Seconds from Mars look like... 30 Seconds from Mars look like Rocket from the Crypt makes... Dogstar.
Dogstar.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes. Though, did you see Leto in Dallas Buyers Club?
Heard he was amazing.
Mwah.
I thought he was... I don't know. I'm not going to say, like, potential scene-stealing or movie-stealing role... I was a little bit like he played it real.
That's what I thought it was.
I was like, he's a real character. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he didn't go all out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
I like the subtlety of it.
Right. I like the subtlety of it. He played it. Yeah.
A movie where everyone's an asshole
and everyone has AIDS. Unfortunately, it literally is. That's the movie.
That's the an asshole.
Bad
AIDS.
People with AIDS. Yeah. Turns out it's a great movie. It's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I liked it.
I have the screener, but I haven't seen it. I have a pile of things where I'm like, oh, I haven't had time to. Oh, I haven't seen that. Oh, I should probably watch.
Yeah.
Oh,
have those screen-
and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
We should get somebody to give you we should make a McConaissance box set. Because it's the McConaissance. Like,
are we in a McConaissance?
Yeah, we're in a McConaissance. It's Killer Joe. Starts at Killer Joe.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's the McConaissance? There's like 10 movies now. Like
Mud.
Mud, exactly.
Lincoln Lawyer?
Lincoln Lawyer.
People love Lincoln Lawyer.
The detective, True Detective HBO show could be like 10 DVDs in there.
Someone, he was also in a Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Though he was in the, not the third one, but the remake?
No, he's in,
the third one.
Three, yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know.
Which Renee Zellweger's in that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's where he says, best thing about chainsaws, I keep getting older.
Yeah, and then
they stay the same age.
Is that what he says?
They're chainsaws. I think that's it. Yeah, that's the famous line.
And he's talking about the meat he's eating. He's like, all white, all white, all white, all white.
Yeah. What was the movie that broke him open?
Wasn't it?
It was
Dazed and Confused, right?
Yeah, it was Dazed and Confused. Yeah.
Dazed and Confused is when he, I don't think he had broken big as like Matthew McConaughey.
Right. Oh, Surfer Dude.
What was it?
It wasn't A Time to Kill. He's the lawyer in that.
A Time to Kill?
No, he was in something else that was really. There was one summer where he, and it was like the summer of like 96 or something.
Oh, that was a far echo from the McConaissance we're living in right now.
Far echo. He really actually, you're all wrong. He made it big. People Magazine, January 1997. Best Beach Bods.
Best Beach Bods.
That's what it was.
That's when the McCon became.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to McConaCon?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
McConaCon. Yeah. Oh, please, can that happen? Yeah. That is so funny.
That's also like the reaction that we gave was we wanted that joke.
It's a rom-com booth.
He was in Contact.
He was in Contact.
Do you really think that so many billions of people could believe something and have it not be true? Yes, I do believe that, as a matter of fact. I do believe
that. That's actually you walking around McConaCon going, that's the one line. You're dressed as the guy from Contact.
By the way, he's pretty much dressed the same. If you dressed up as Matthew McConaughey, it would almost be indiscernible which point at the McConaissance you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell it, Dallas Buyers Club. Yeah, pretty skinny.
Killer Mike. Yeah, you could go as Killer Mike. Mike. Yeah, some risque hot guy is going
to
be trolling around.
He was in Magic Mike, too. That was another part of it, right?
Wait, you said...
That's the McConaissance, because that's Soderbergh. That's a real McConaissance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Though it's a fun romp.
And he was also in Bernie.
Oh, Bernie.
Much overlooked movie that I thought was quite good.
Oh, is it Jack Black movie?
Jack Black, Lily Tomlin?
Jack Black, Shirley MacLaine.
Shirley MacLaine.
Right.
McCon.
Bernie.
The McCon.
Bernie. Check it out on...
Bernie, it's good. It's on Netflix, I think.
Check it out on Netflix. Yeah,
yeah, it's good. It's Linklater.
Yeah.
Part documentary, you kind of realize upon watching it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All the interviews of all the townsfolk, it's all actual interviews.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's like Slacker, bro. It's got like Slacker.
It's got that Slacker vibe to it.
Nice, nice.
Snow's gonna rock, though.
Do you feel like you need to... that you need to get older to gain wisdom to be a better... a guy like McConaughey, he's just around, he's in so many things, and he has so many touch points, and then sooner or later people are like, oh yeah, he's really amazing when you kind of look at all of the,
once you got the body of work going down. Well, it's weird, because it's weird when people start, he really started with a little bit of prestige and kind of like, whoa, that guy was really funny. Yeah. And then he was just like rom-coms for like...
Ghost of Girlfriend's Past.
Yeah, that shit. And then I think he had to probably be like, oh man, I am seen like this. I am going to stop this just concentrate on...
Which is what Johnny Depp did like pretty fast. Johnny Depp decided to do weirder stuff. And Brad Pitt also started taking weirder roles kind of when he started to become the sexiest man alive, and they were offering all these rom-com stuff.
That's true.
And he would do like 12 Monkeys.
Why don't I go all the days?
Was that?
See, he was the Pikey in, he was one of the Pikeys in Snatch.
Oh, that's right.
One Punch Mickey.
He was in Snatch?
He was in Snatch. Yeah. He was great in Snatch, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Well, Snatch looked like a Coke commercial the entire time. Pass me those keys. Slow down the keys in the air. Zoom in on the keys. Turn the camera 360.
Dennis Farina takes a shot, gets on a plane.
Cut to polar bears in the North Pole drinking some Cokes.
Drinking some Cokes, sliding down a hill.
Wow.
Good old
time. I just realized that I hadn't really thought of defining that period, but when you look at The Matrix and Guy Ritchie and all that, those quirky movies really did have that super like,
and Wanted is the bookend of that. Like, that's when it stops.
Wanted was Angelina Jolie. Like
Angelina did Curve book. The Bullet.
The
Weavers.
Yeah. It's all about curving bullets.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's a skill that you possess that defies physics. Yeah.
Where it's a Summer Olympics.
All you have to do is just whip your arm, and then the bullet just,
it's like bowling.
It's like heat seeking after that.
Actually, it's like, I think that movie was designed after the game that came with the Atari 2600 Combat, where you could actually control,
bouncing bullets.
You could control, like, if with the controller, which direction the bullet was going to go.
Yeah, just slightly. Yeah.
That's what that was.
Oh, man, hundreds of combinations of tank wars.
there are some things that are cool, like, as a comic, and then when you hear people say out loud, we are weavers, then you're like, oh it just, that was not supposed to be spoken out loud.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that.
I was supposed to be read and looked at as with art, but not as a, I don't need to hear someone say those words out loud.
Yeah, yeah. Once it's a real man saying that, you're like, oh, God. See, he should be embarrassed for himself.
That was, although I do enjoy James McAvoy quite a bit.
Oh, man, so
notebook
good.
James McAvoy?
What?
No, yeah. That's it.
Is no,
that
that's Gosling. No,
that's Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
James McAvoy was in Wanted. He was also in X-Men First Class. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
And he's really good.
I'm sure he's leaving out 10 movies that he was also amazing.
Is this a Golden Globe special episode we're doing right now?
A special episode
this
of Golden Globe.
What's up, Tina? What's up, Amy? It's the Golden Globes.
Here's a weird thing that I just noticed last night. I was listening to That Thing You Do, the movie, while I was going to sleep, and there's a character named Tina, and there's a character named Faye, and like in the movie, he's like, Tina, Faye. And then he walks away, and I was like, that's odd.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
They knew what they were doing. They were just planning it for future generations.
The Illuminati has created Tina Fey's career from the get-go.
Yeah, if you watch The Shining, they actually say Jonah Ray. Scatman Carruthers, I believe. As he's peering around a corner.
That was that Thing You Do was part of the Tom Hanks-anati, which within the McConaissance was a very important group.
Oh, yeah. Tom Hanks enabled the McConaissance in so many different ways.
Yeah, that's true. Is this all like, did you go to one of those weird things at the McConCon?
What do you say? Did you say weird?
No.
What are you talking about?
No.
That's my life.
Where thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
a
thing that when it's a full moon, it's a different thing.
Well, there's a conspiracy where it's all about James Caan.
Do you guys go to the. Did you guys go to the mud party? At the McConaCon?
Was that the Moon Tower?
Was it the Moon Tower? Oh, yeah. It was so fun, dude. Yeah.
Some guy just showed up covered in head to toe with mud, and we're like, you don't get it, bro.
Yeah, man. But you know what? You get partying, but you don't.
Yeah.
You get the right way to party, but you missed it.
Yeah.
You're out
of
here.
Yeah. And then a bunch of people came dressed like Harvey Milk because they thought they just got it wrong.
Yeah.
There was
they
like
thought
milk,
it was a Renaissance.
They didn't
Renaissance.
Know.
Yeah.
Penn started with a Renaissance. He liked Fast Times, and that was the Renaissance. And then he was like, I'm the best.
And then in 1989, he had to join Madonna-non.
Madonna-non.
For all the people who had dated
with Warren Beatty.
Madonna. Yeah, Warren Beatty. And then
all of his brothers and family also joined Madonna.
One of the guys from that brand, the band The Breakfast Club, that dated her early in her career.
Judd Nelson?
No, not from the movie. The band The Breakfast Club.
Oh.
Yeah. Any number of Latin trainers. She's always got a new Latin trainer.
She does.
Like, hello. Like a total fuck machine. Just guy with a tiny mustache who is just, he's like the guy from Ferris Bueller that steals the car or whatever. You know, like.
Oh, yeah. That guy who's in like a ton of movies.
Yeah.
We'll take good care of it for you.
Yeah. Exactly. That's who fucks Madonna every day.
I'll take care of you, Madonna's pussy.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
man.
You can see the mileage.
I love the
Jonah Ray.
There's a song by a guy named Dan Byrne. Do you know Dan Byrne?
Oh, I know Dan Byrne, yeah.
He did, I think Andy DeFranco produced this. He's this old album, and he has this song called Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
I know I've played this on the podcast before. But
it's like, sometimes I wish it was Tiger Woods.
Yeah,
I've heard that.
And the song starts with, I got big balls, big old balls, big as grapefruits, big as hamsters, yes, sir. And so there's this part in the song where he says, I had a friend whose goal in life was to one day go down on Madonna. So he tells this whole story about
That's
how this,
right.
his friend's whole goal in life was to go down on Madonna. And then he's like, And when my friend was 32, he got his wish in Rome one night. So he tells this whole story about how
he's down on Madonna.
And ever since then, he's been depressed because life is shit from here on out. And all his friends just nod their heads and say, too soon, too soon, too soon. He went down on Madonna too soon. And he basically
really funny.
He uses going down on Madonna, this guy going down Madonna, as a metaphor for like the guy peaked early in life. And why couldn't he have gone down on Madonna later in life?
That is so fun. I remember that's such a great song.
It is an amazing song.
That's $150 million.
What?
Save it for the end of your life.
Yes, but then
so you don't peak.
But then what? Then what do you do with it if you're too old to do anything? I mean, you can give a lot of it away because you're not going to need it.
Then you sue everyone. That's when you can pay for lawyers.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's you can be like crazy old Mr. Potter.
Yeah, yeah.
Mean to children.
Mean to get
but
away.
Once you get to know him, he's got a heart of gold. I'm in a wheelchair. I can't feel anything from my legs down, but I got a blanket on me at all times.
To hide the constant erections, I guess, the one we get that he can't
stop.
Oh,
yeah, this is a wheelchair boner. I forgot to mention. Yeah. I can't feel the
difference.
The blood just pulls up. Takes all the blood from my extremities. It's all
anyone care for a seat? Seat on my lap, little lady? I died from being terrible.
I'm going to take your house, and then I'm going to fuck it. Now I'm just doing Andy Daly's old man character.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's a good character.
It is a great character.
Hey, listen, it's a good character. Yeah. You can steal it.
Pay homage to it.
Yeah, it's the biggest compliment.
My grandkid gave me a VCR. I don't know how to work it, so I'll just stick my cock in it and fuck it. Yeah. But you can't, you have to, it's not even just the jokes, but it's the fucking face he makes.
Yeah. It's just the glee that he gets.
Yeah.
He's like full of horrible glee. Yeah. It's like, hooray! Yeah.
Oh, what was that one character you had? It was like the guy who lost his job, so he was going to start his own business as being like the life of the party, Inc.
Oh, yeah, and his family is in the van or whatever.
No, that's singers, or there's like a
sing-along
murder.
Yeah, that's so funny.
The sing-along game. But then there was he was Life of the Party Inc., where he was just this guy that's like, it's like I'll be the guy that you pay to come to your party to make it a really good party. And then he would ask someone like, here, like, great conversation, ask me something.
Hey, what do you like to do for breakfast?
Get your head out of your ass.
Is that on Nine Sweaters? Is that character on Nine Sweaters?
Most likely, because that was what he was doing when he like first came out here and was just doing Bang Bang or Death Ray show.
I'm so excited for Review.
Review is going to be good.
Oh, my God.
Comedy Central show.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome, dude.
So is Nick Kroll season 2.
Yeah, Nick Kroll season 2. Kroll show comes out January 14th. Can I say
It is something that I enjoy about seeing, about sort of being in a community of people and knowing how funny people are, and then getting to see, like, oh, other people are going to get to see them do what they're supposed to be doing, like to actually get to see them do what they do best.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome, man. Yeah, and seeing everybody at Comedy Death Ray and Comedy Bang Bang, like, back then, and is everyone's like doing it up.
It's funny. It is weird to me, though, that Comedy Bang Bang means something totally different than, I mean, I guess it's different. I guess I can deal with it because I always think of it as Death Ray. I always think of it as Comedy Death Ray.
I always think of it as just Death Ray.
Scott had to change the name most of the way through to Comedy Bang Bang, but it's still, like, it really was a live comedy show that we all did a lot, and now, like, it's not that anymore. It's a television show, and it's a podcast, it's all these other things.
What's what we're talking about, because you always have to do a thing. It's like, well, you know, the old M-Bar, Comedy Death Ray, Comedy Bang Bang. Like, you have to go through the album.
Then it went to UCB for a long time, and then it was...
Yeah, there are evolutions of these shows, and...
Yeah. Because it used to just be the M-Bar, Comedy Night at M-Bar.
Yeah.
It wasn't Death Ray right away?
No,
it wasn't.
It was like a year in when
they finally named it.
It was called Comedy Night?
It was just because, like, the M-Bar show. It was like
the Tuesday night comedy show.
Yeah, flyer just said, like, M-Bar comedy Tuesday nights.
You're fired, is what I said. Comedy Night. No.
Comedy Night.
You got to call it, like, Needle Dick Crazy. Yeah. Whatever. You have to call it an interesting name.
Yeah. And Comedy Death Ray is what they came up with.
Yeah.
And then it was fresh off the heels of... kind of fresh off the heels of Mr. Show, so like all the comedy nerds got to see Cross and Odenkirk and
Louis was
Posehn
doing when he was in town.
It was fun.
Odenkirk.
When did you get out here? Because I met you in New York.
Right. I moved out here in 2000. I moved out here permanently in 2008.
Yeah.
But I came out here to write with Scott and BJ on a show called The Right Now Show.
Mm-hmm. That's right. For Fox. That was at Fox One.
That was at Fox.
Yeah.
And then I went back to New York for a while and did some shows and made a pilot with Gelman and then moved back out here. And just, yeah, about in 2008, right after Obama.
Okay.
Right after Obama. Yeah.
But yeah, you guys were out here for a while, though.
Just doing jobs, but yeah,
you came out here for like a pilot season, I guess, right?
We were out here for pilot season. We were out here for some writing jobs, but we were super poor, and so it wasn't like we were bi-coastal at all. We were just upending our lives in New York, moving here, and then crashing on couches and upending our lives and then moving and getting new apartments. And it was horrible. It was, you know, horrible. So we moved to L.A. I
had a lot of fleas.
Yeah. You had Jonah. We stayed with Jonah for what, a full month? More than a month,
It was
probably.
A little more than a month. It was supposed more to be like 2 weeks.
More generous than, it was probably 2 weeks, and we were like, dude, can we just stay?
Yeah, and I didn't care.
We appreciated that very much. Yeah. We stayed on Jonah's couch, and his cat, I believe, had fleas.
Argyle, yeah.
Yeah, and we'd wake up and be like, oh, God, like... I slept weird last night. Yeah. Just it's so bad, but whatever. And like a week would go by.
You lift up a couch cushion and just be like,
"Oh my God!"
And then for some reason they just didn't go into the bedroom. So like I never really knew.
You never registered.
Don't go in there. The horror's extra weight.
Yeah. Argyle T. Pennington Esquire.
Don't bite that dog.
Oh, fucking one of those names.
What do you mean,
Argyle T. Pennington?
It's just one of those things where it's like you name the cat and then. You just kind of, like, when you're playing with it, you're just like, ooh, Argyle T. Pennington.
And
it
sounds P. Fucking... Diddy's new butler.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm Argyle P. T. Pennington.
That's Fedora nerds. Argyle T. Pennington, the good lady. Hello, good sir.
That sounds very steampunk. That could be a good steampunk.
It is. That's sort of the
Argus T. Pennington. Argus is way more of a steampunk.
Yeah, Quillington. Yeah. Instead of Penn.
I love the Fedora nerds. I think that was sort of the group of people that I kind of like in college. I was always friends with the Fedora nerds.
Wait, explain the Fedora nerds.
Swing.
Not just swing, but it's almost the Fedora nerds are almost, they're almost anachronistic in a way. And so I think steampunk falls into Fedora nerd or anyone who says like. Well met, good man.
God, there's a lot of them.
Yes,
right?
Yes. It's the tip of the hat. It's essentially the tipping of the hat. That's why you say fedora. It's like they're wearing a fedora, and it's the tipping of the hat. Trench coats, a lot of trench coats.
There's a couple of them that are extras on betas.
Oh,
on
really?
Amazon. They're very very hilarious, and they say like, "Good day, gentlemen."
Yes,
things like that. But in the morning, and you're like, "Wow."
That was kind of my big friend group in but in college that was the group that I always identified with, was that kind of like, because there's an element of like, we don't belong in this time.
Yeah.
We don't belong here with these other weird mortals. Like, we belong in another time.
And that wasn't part of the, like, the kind of LA swing movement of
I think that was more hipsters.
Yeah,
I think the swing movement was more
like Los Feliz, right?
Yeah, that was more hipsters, and the fedora nerds were really just more like, we don't belong anywhere else.
Yeah, I
think the swing stuff was more. You're sort of choosing. Yeah, I don't think people go, I'm going to be a fedora nerd, but people go, I'm going to get into this swing culture. So I think maybe swing culture was the hipster splintering of the fedora nerds.
Possibly,
wow.
The ones that were, so.
Yeah. I had a kid. There was a kid, I give a shout out to him. He was so fantastic in high school. His name's Alistair Thompson. And I did drama, and he was in the plays with me and everything. And he was this guy that faked a British accent for the first 2 years of high school. He was that guy.
Oh, shit.
And he didn't.
When did he let it go?
You know, he didn't do it all the time, but he'd definitely be like, hello, Jonathan, how are you? He'd call me like Jonathan and everything. And he was like a big Monty Pythonite. I remember him coming. I love Monty Python. He came up to me freshman year. He was like, I heard you quoting Monty Python. Are you a Monty Pythonite? And I was like, oh, God. I don't know if I'm a Monty Pythonite. But and then he dressed as his freshman year. We had Halloween day and everyone dressed in costume. And he came as Oscar Wilde.
Oh, wow.
I have to give him eternal props
for
coming as Oscar Wilde his freshman year, for Christ's sake, of high school.
That's great.
And faking it. And then he stopped it. He stopped faking the British accent when he started actually getting into drama. And he got a little bit, I think he got a little bit more confident. But he was like my hero in high school. See him walking down the hall, he'd wear a kilt to high school. I was just like, you are... It was like that's Fedora badass. Nerd, but like
yeah.
Anglophile crazy.
Yeah,
like, amazing.
I remember there, I went to a comedy show and there was this guy, Sax Carr, who I found that was his name later on. But like before that, he was had a different name and he did a whole act, a whole set with an accent. And afterwards, I was like, hey, wow, are you from London? Because I was like getting really into, you know, like Chris Morris stuff and you know, Nathan Barlow, all those, you know, jam, all those British things. Like, oh, do you know any of those guys? And he, the entire night of hanging out after the show, kept up the British accent. Oh. And I was just confident. That, and then the next time I saw him, he's like, hey, man. I was like, what's up with your voice?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm not really British. And then I was so devastated.
Well, yeah, because
the fool.
Because you, of course, because you felt vulnerable because you were like, hey, I really like this thing. And then he basically lied to you.
He lied to me all night.
Well, he's literally like, I have one over on this guy. I don't have a British accent.
Yeah.
I'm like, why would you do that? Well, I kind of, I mean, he's probably a little bit was afraid of the world a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
Possibly. Whatever happened to Alistair Thompson?
I think he's, I don't actually know. I know that he's, I think we're Facebook friends, but I think he lives in Pennsylvania, he lives in Philly, and I actually don't know. Shout out to Alistair Thompson. I hope you're good.
There you go.
That'd be amazing if he listens to the podcast.
Seems like the kind of guy.
Jonathan!
He probably is. Yeah. And shout out to that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Total respect.
Don't laugh after saying something sincere.
Total respect.
Well, you're a really good guy.
Just because I was laughing because I was just like, will he hear this? Or you know, it might be just an empty gesture. But
there were
kids in our high school called the window kids, and they would hang out, and it was all intermingled like with like people who do plays and stuff like that. Yeah. So there was definitely like some computer.
The window kids.
They sit at this area called the window. It was this like big window, and they just chill. And a lot of them wore trench coats, and it was like the trench coat Doc Martens posse.
Yep.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Where did you grow up?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, you're from Pittsburgh. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
I don't know if I mean, I've performed in Philly, but I don't think I've performed in Pittsburgh.
Mm. What do you think about that?
Is there a comedy scene in Pittsburgh?
There is. There's a burgeoning comedy scene that is really impressive. I went there last Christmas, and there's a new there were competing. This is the comedy. Like when I left, there was nothing going. I did Friday Night Improvs, which is a lovely thing that they had at the University of Pittsburgh when I was in high school. I did improv in this free-for-all kind of thing that they do in Pittsburgh. But now there are two UCB type format competing theaters. I'm like, so it was like totally one's called the Arcade Theater and one is called Steel City Improv, I believe. And they're both doing classes in like UCB format, and they're fucking competing against each other. And I went back then and did a show, and it was like fantastic, and it was sold out. I was like, man, this is real. Like it could be a vibe. Pittsburgh is so cool now. It's really excellent. And like the youth scene, like there's always a cool music scene there, like indie rock music, and my brother was in bands, and I kind of like experienced that a little bit in high school. But now there is legitimately a comedy scene, which is crazy, and people really passionate about it.
That's what Graham Elwood was telling me about Hawaii. That's he's like, have you gone back to Hawaii to do comedy? I said no. He's like, there's a scene, there's a bunch of comics, there's improv groups, and it's cool. He says it's not cheesy, it's not local humor, it's just good comedy, and there's kids just doing it.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's happening everywhere.
Yeah. Though if I was in Hawaii, I'd want to see a local humor.
I can send you some links.
What's up?
Yeah. What's an example of local Hawaii humor?
How many howlies does it take to get?
Yeah. It's all Jack Nicholson impressions.
Sorry, did I just do Jack? Was that Jack?
How many howlies does it take to climb a palm tree?
I didn't know Jack was from Honolulu.
Hawaii Jack.
It's all growing up for me, it was all the pidgin English stuff. So it was like, and it's all racist humor. So it's all like, it's like who brother? What the kind guy? What the kind Portuguese guy do? And he said, look at the dog with one eye. Brother, cover his eye and look at the dog.
That's dumb.
He's dumb. Now he's
guy.
On Lolo, bro.
That dumb Portuguese guy.
No, he's Portuguese. Now he's Lolo. He's dumb,
yeah,
man.
He's dumb.
Same kind of guy. 3 days later, brother, I say, hey, check him out. Check out the dead bird, brother. Brother looks up in the sky. Oh,
that Portuguese guy again. What are they doing in Portugal?
Brother, Portuguese. Don't be one howly.
What?
Say it right, brother.
What?
Portuguese.
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 Brother.
You're saying
kind.
Portuguese.
What?
I'm a cunt?
What?
Why?
Kind.
Kind bars.
Hey. Hawaiian jerk. Shut up.
Jack Nicholson.
Poor brother King Jackie Nicholson, brother.
Let's do some blow. Hey, Hawaiian jerk, put your face in this bag.
Yeah, because you're Portuguese and they would make fun of Portuguese.
Yeah,
people.
You just take any Polish joke.
But are there indigenous Portuguese people that are treated like, hey, look at this Portuguese guy? Or is
everyone has a thing they're made fun of. Every culture in Hawaii has a thing they're made fun of. And Portuguese are just made fun of. For being dumb. Like, you take any Polish joke, you say it, it's like, oh, it's the same Polish, say Portuguese, and people go, wow, you know so much about the Hawaiian culture.
Yeah, in Canada, it's Newfies, Newfoundlanders.
Oh, really? Right?
They're like, how many Newfies does it take to screw in a light bulb, eh? Four. It's not a joke. Four, there's no joke, they're just dumb.
Yeah, and it's like, if you want to make fun, like, someone's, you say, like, oh, like, Rada, what do you call a haole surrounded by five soles?
What?
Coach.
What's a sole?
It's a Samoan guy.
Oh,
so like, what do you call a haole surrounded by three soles?
What?
Dead.
Oh. Yeah. They'd kill him.
Yeah, yeah. Are they a violent race of people?
Okay, all right. You were very traumatized when you were younger. There's a lot of stuff. This is where it gets real for Jonah.
Yeah, well, they made fun of you as you walked the hallways of your school, right?
Yeah,
These bad Hawaiian kids.
No, I mean, they weren't necessarily Hawaiian. It was just kind of, you know, local. No one's really any one thing in Hawaii. Everyone's a mix of a.
Well, it was probably that time you walked in with a pile of shit in your hand and go, look what I almost step in.
Yeah.
You've been to Hawaii.
I've been to Hawaii.
And then the next day you came in, look up in the sky.
Drink 7-Up.
I am not Orlando Jones. I am not Orlando Jones.
I referenced the 7-Up guy the other day, and someone was like, oh, you mean Orlando Jones? I was like, no, the first 7-Up guy.
Yeah.
The bald guy.
Make 7-Up yours.
Yeah. Was that? No, but that wasn't.
That was later.
No, that was Orlando Jones's. Like,
oh,
in the
right.
80s, there was the guy with the shaved head.
He was super Caribbean. He was like the clean taste
of 7-Up.
The Lyman.
Lyman.
Yeah.
He
Doug
was
Lyman.
Like, it was like Dr. No. You know, like it was like ha ha. Drink. It was very.
I can't remember that guy's name. I just remember he was in the movie Annie.
Oh, wow. Really?
He was. Yeah. He played Warbucks's like. Right-hand guy.
Right.
That's all I remember.
He got him 7-Up, or?
Yep. Daddy Warbucks bought the 7-Up. He stepped out of the story of Annie and bought the 7-Up company.
Just guy.
Yeah.
Hey, aren't they remaking Annie? Are they remaking Annie?
Yes, I heard they are remaking Annie.
And it's Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx is going to be Annie?
Daddy Warbucks.
Oh, okay. Wow. That'd be weird if they cast him as Annie.
Yeah, no, I think Jaden Smith is Annie.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Rather than the reverse.
Yeah, I think so.
I wanted to say, with the explosion of... it's probably Willow Smith.
Yeah, sorry.
Willow. I think with the... Sorry, whenever I hear the name Willow, I have to reference the film Willow.
Do you think she'll grow up to be a Daikini?
Willow.
Oh,
Matt Myrigan. Matt Myrigan. I like to assume that the explosion of that kind of comedy culture was probably internet based when, you know, because before it wouldn't necessarily strike someone to go, oh, I could probably just start a comedy theater in my small town.
I think so. Yeah.
And then now there's such a community, you know, that people go, oh, yeah, well, there's no reason why we couldn't start this thing here. How do we do that? What do we, you know?
Totally.
Plus, there's a bunch of podcasts you can listen to where people talk about how they did it.
Yeah, and they talk about, so there's like a model for how to do it.
Yeah.
And I think like there's just a glut of college kids and people right out of college and... It's like super cheap to live in Pittsburgh and
We just found a building and then there were some chairs in a slightly elevated area.
Yeah.
And then people would come in and then someone would say something and I would agree with them and then provide more information and then they would do the same and then everyone would go
and
home.
And that's how
as long as we found agreement, people tended to laugh.
Yeah.
So we were hit, a lot of people were hit or miss. Yeah. There were a couple fedora heads who were in there fucking
Argus was there.
Yeah.
August Filch.
Yeah, there's always some people at the beginnings of an improv theater that are like, and I remember that are like, there's always, at Friday Night Improvs, when I first started doing it, it was raise your hand and like, they'll call you down and you'll do a scene. So anyone in the audience, so it was like 11 o'clock on a Friday, all these University of Pittsburgh students like drunk, like, and there's always one guy who like, the leaders like Lou Stein, Ben Mayer, and These guys would you know, be the callers of the people, and there's always one guy who's in the corner raising his hand for every game. Oh. And at the end, they'd be like, "All right. All right, Ron. All right, you can do this." They'd be like, "Oh, thank you. I will do my finest work."
Just the worst. Like,
I need to talk about.
I don't even want to think about the kinds of comedy I did when I first started doing comedy and the things that I thought. I mean, every once in a while I'll come across an old notebook and I'll be like, "Oh my God."
Yeah. Yeah. I had my old notebooks and I had a sketch comedy troupe very early in New York City, right out of college. And I remember we did improv in Washington Square Park.
Oh.
And we were like, "Can we get a suggestion of?" And I was like, "Oh my God.
Yeah. Don't ruin my lunch break."
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. please go away.
What was in Washington Square Park? You were basically just doing scenes?
We were doing a sketch comedy show and we had flyers. So we had made flyers and we just didn't know how to get anyone to our show. So we went to the park, cordoned off an area with like some buckets with flyers on them, and then we're like, "All right," like we got this little space and people gathered around, and then we realized like all these people are homeless and they're all like really interested in talking to us, and they're like, "You're putting," like a woman came up to us and was like, "You guys are doing a beautiful thing.
Oh no,
you're putting yourself out there." And we were like 19, so we didn't know the difference, so we were like, "Thanks so much." And then this guy was like, "Hey," comes over and was like, Do you guys need a haircut? Like, I really appreciated your comedy, and I could give you a haircut in exchange." But really, just wanted to hang out because he was a homeless, crazy person.
Yeah.
But best haircut you've ever had.
Best haircut I've ever gotten. The guy was like a weird, weird genius.
He had these scissor hands.
Yes.
And he was dressed like Tim Burton.
He was dressed like Tim Burton.
Oh, that just reminded me of this when I was at Deanna's brother's place in Chicago. He was looking out the side of his window to the other house. He's like, "Hey, that window's open in the neighbor's upstairs room," and it's an Edward Scissorhands poster and like just a poster of Tim Burton,
yeah,
and then a poster of Johnny Depp, just like, you know, from the 80s, just shirtless. And he's like,
"Wow,
that room doesn't look like it's been touched in a really long time."
Oh, jeez. No,
yeah.
wow,
dead kid.
That's like 1990. What, three?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah.
It was real weird looking.
Or just for a second, I totally forgot about it. Tim Burton's face pop up in the window with tape over his mouth.
Yeah. There's just a rotting skeleton watching television forever.
Yeah.
Then he goes into the, accidentally goes into the door where it's Christmas sound.
What's this?
I don't know things. What is it?
Let me tell you something. If I went in that fucking Christmastown tree door, I'd go down there and I wouldn't sing at all. The music would be playing. I'd be like, "Fuck you, I'm gonna get these Christmas presents. What's this?" And then people would be singing back up. I'd be like, "Get out of my way." That's the best movie. I have to see that again. I love it.
I never saw it for a really long time. And then Deanna, we noticed that it was on Netflix. She's like, "Oh, let's watch it. It's really good." And, you know, and then we that thing where you like pump up a movie with somebody and you watch it. And then we're watching. She's like, I remember being a lot better. It's so slow. These songs aren't really that good.
Right.
He immediately got really uncomfortable.
Right. You know, I felt that way about The Dark Crystal a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, that was like my jam when I was a little kid. Yeah. And it's still insanely beautiful and like amazing. And amazing that they even made that movie. But like, I watched it and I was kind of like, "Oh man, this is pretty slow." It's really beautiful and I love it and appreciate it. But it's like, ooh. It's
I was in the Bernie Brillstein book. He talks about how Jim Henson wanted, he didn't want the Skeksis to speak English at all. He just wanted it to be like,
like an art film. He didn't want
subtitles.
Yeah.
So he just had to assume what they were like an art film. That's what he wanted to make.
That's so weird.
There are a couple movies where, and I always find when I'm trying to show Chloe, because she just missed a lot of my favorite movies. So, like, I try to show her Real Genius.
Yeah.
Which.
I love. That holds up.
That's a
whole. It totally holds up.
Oh, it's a fucking good. It's a great movie.
It's
a perfect type of movie.
Awesome and hilarious. And that movie was like my beacon when I was growing up.
Yeah. Cool.
That movie
did. Cool Smart Guys.
And then I tried to show her. I tried to show her Time Bandits, which she kind of got. It's not. I mean, she was enjoying it, but then she also got distracted part of the way through, and I was like, "Oh man,
yeah." And
Time Bandits is a
pinnacle movie for me too. Like that blew my mind apart when I was a kid. But I still don't. I want to remember it because I've seen it lately, and it's still good. I think it holds up.
A little slow,
it holds up.
No, Time Bandits. I think Time Bandits movies like Terry Gilliam is responsible for so many fedora nerds.
Just
Terry Gilliam alone is the head vampire of so many fedora nerds. I fucking loved.
Let's kill him and see what happens. All these Fonzies pop out. Hey, I'm cool now, no, man. Just...
What's with the hat? Hey, look at those nerds over there.
Hey, what's the deal, chicks? I'm cool.
You got a jukebox that doesn't come on with quarters?
I got an elbow.
Or what would happen is we would just go to jail because we just murdered a guy.
No, exactly. That's why kids
don't murder. Don't try. The lesson here is don't try to turn people into Fonzie by murdering Terry Gilliam.
Absolutely.
Never do it.
Or any film director. For God's sake, Martin Scorsese. I mean, there's so
none of them. Yeah. None of them. Greg Araki, you can have.
You know what?
Yeah. Go back in time and get him.
You know what? Don't kill McGee.
Don't kill McGee. Whatever you do, don't touch him. I don't know why. Just don't.
Don't touch a hair on that guy. We need him.
All right, good.
God, Charlie's Angels 3, come on.
Here.
Oh, my God.
The guy. See?
Yes, yes.
Some don't. My choice is clear. 7 of them. 7 of tastes crisp and clean, and there's no caffeine. Marvelously refreshing. You think so, too? Of course you do. Crisp and clean, no caffeine. Our choice is clear. 7 of
them. Oh, my God.
Don't you feel good about 7 Up?
I just like where he was like, am I supposed to do the thing now that you've hired me to do? Ha-ha! Is this the ha-ha? Why am I sitting here with this small child? Ha-ha!
When he asked the question of the small child, it made it seem like when they said cut, he just like poked that child in the eye or something. He was like, get out of my way.
One unexplained child. Two unexplained children. Ha-ha-ha-ha!
Well, it does bring heart to the commercial.
It does. And it shows me that all kinds of people can enjoy 7-Up.
Yeah.
Oh, there's more. He did them for years. Yeah, that's right. 7-Up, the Uncola.
We are entering
yes.
the thermal galaxy. Do we need more 7-Up? What other soft
drinks? He's in a spacesuit.
Quick computation shows none.
Maybe kids again.
Unlike others, 7-Up has no caffeine, artificial color, or flavor. I always knew the Uncola was the soft drink of the future. Crisp and clean. No unparalleled refreshment. The Un, the one.
You said it.
7-Up, the Uncola.
Then he got replaced by by Spot, right?
It's hard for me to hear him say crisp and clean without saying no caffeine afterwards. That's the rhyme.
Those are the commercials where you look and you're... I always expect to see like, oh, there's Christian Bale. Oh, there's Tobey Maguire. Yeah. You know, just seeing tiny kid actors from 1985.
I believe he was replaced by Spot. The Spot or the Dot, which actually ended up having a Nintendo game based off of it.
Oh, yeah.
It was around the same time as Mac Tonight and...
The Noid.
And the Noid.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. Mac Tonight, the moon.
Yeah, the
moon
head. Yeah.
And the Noid.
That's Mac Tonight.
Legend.
Yeah. You got to avoid it, though.
Legendary.
No, I think we should... I think we should do like a where are they now kind of a thing, like with the Noid.
We've been avoiding the Noid for too long.
Nobody. Yeah. I haven't been with a woman in 2 decades.
They'll avoid me. They've been instructed.
He's trying to sue Domino's Pizza because they ruined his life.
Yeah. It's like everyone's avoiding.
They didn't tell me that the campaign was going to be people running from me. I just thought I was a mascot for their pizza.
I don't even know what you are, man. You got weird rabbit ears. What are you?
Oh, I'm different from you.
Yeah.
Well, that's racist.
We're racist Domino's. Against only you. And that makes that makes it cool.
Yeah. Oh, man.
If it's one person, it's fine.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're the only member of your race and there aren't enough people to back you up, then it's okay.
Yeah, blog about that, bloggers. Yeah. What if there's only one?
Yeah.
It's really Noidist in here.
It is real.
Noidist.
Noidist.com. Can we?
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody please make that.
When Curly decided to come on our podcast. No, I'm on the Noidist.
The Noidist.
No, this is the Nerdist. No, I was supposed to be with the Noid.
You should ask Will Sasso if he can ask.
Oh, yeah.
Could you please just be, I'm not going to do the Curly thing, guys. would ever do that.
Okay, do it.
Okay, do it. Yeah.
All right, I'll do it.
All right, no, I'll do it. I'll do anything. I don't care.
Is there anything you want to promote before we wrap it up?
Oh, let's, I want to promote Betas.
Betas.
My new Amazon show.
Good.
It's one of the two. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
It's one of the two new Amazon.com shows. So go on Amazon. Amazon, and it's on Amazon Prime, and you can watch it.
If you like alphanumeric
show titles and Ed Begley Jr., and you can go watch it. And Kroll Show, of course, is coming out. And also Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Please see
that. That's right. You're the exposition guy.
Yes, I'm the exposition guy in Secret Life of Walter Mitty, which is awesome.
And it's funny that everyone else has beards except for you.
I know. I love that. I love that. And now I don't have a beard now. You don't care.
But you did. You didn't when I met you, and then you did. And then Brett did, and then he didn't stop. And then where is he beard wise right now?
Big beard.
Brett Gelman has a big beard, and he has less hair on his head. You're not a beard. You could grow a great beard, actually.
I don't think I could.
Yeah, you could.
No, look at your
stuff. It's like,
look at my stuff.
It's called hair.
Look at your stuff.
Look
at your stuff.
I don't know. I don't know if I would have a really good beard. Maybe I would have like a Canaan beard. No, yeah.
I'd imagine your beard just real straight, down ZZ Top beard.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I think
you're from the South.
That's right. I would have a real straight racist beard.
A real racist, but you're like a racist horticulturist.
Yeah.
It's a very neat beard.
Like a Duck Hunt Dynasty.
Yeah.
Beard. Duck Hunt Dynasty.
Duck Hunt Dynasty. It's a digital beard.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's this one dog next to me that just laughs at everything. excellent. And then where can people find you anywhere else?
Oh, at John Daly, at JONDALY on Twitter.
Nice. You beat those other guys. Although John Daly, the golfer, has an H in his name, right?
He has PGA John Daly.
John Daly.
Yeah, and go to John Daly is John Daly. John Daly is JohnDaly.com. I'm trying to take over the Google search of the golfer John Daly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's build up that SEO.
Yeah, let's do it.
Get the
Nerdists.
SEO. Let's buy some robots in China that can make us have hits.
Crisp and clean, no caffeine.
No caffeine. Crisp and clean, no caffeine. These howlies come into... And then he goes...
Look up in the sky.
Look up in the sky.
No, brother.
What is it? Portuguese?
Portuguese, brother.
Portuguese.
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 Cool. I can't wait to go to...
Hawaii.
Get involved in the high school culture.
Yeah.
That's gonna be you. Like, cut to Brett down, like, in a walking down a bad street in Hawaii, and these three thugs are about to rob him, and then he just breaks in. The only thing he remembers, hey, you look at the Portuguese.
This one, Holly, funny, yeah.
Oh, you know John O'Ray?
Hey, motherfucker, I am Portuguese. Like, you fuck up the wrong.
Sir, you are talking to a Portuguese.
Hiya. Well done.
Oh, man.
We can end the podcast with a jerk reference.
Nothing like a ref to
love
send
it.
You on your way.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks,
love
John
you.
Daly.
Love you.
All righty.
Enjoy your burrito.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.